Hello, this is Alana Goldstein-Sachs with this week's Midrash of the Week podcast. For today's podcast, I'd like to look at two different versions of a Midrash, or to be more accurate, two closely related Midrashim. One of them, I believe, will be well known to many of you. The other one, probably less so. What is interesting about these two Midrashim is that despite the fact that they have a common element, that they are essentially based on the same thing, they ultimately present two very different messages about the same story. The Midrashim that we're going to learn bring us to Shmot, Perek Yutet, to the story of Ma'amad Har Sinai. And on the morning of Ma'amad Har Sinai, just to give you some background, when Bnei Israel were about to receive the Torah, the sights and the sounds of what was going on the mountain were awe-inspiring, right? Perek Yutet Pasuk Tetzain, Vayihi Vayom Ashlishi, Vayot HaBoker, Vayihi Kolot Ubrakim, Va'anan Kaved Al Hahar, V'kol Shofar Chazak Ma'od, Vayacherad Kol Ha'am Asher B'machaneh. Right, there's thunder and lightning and a huge cloud over the mountain and the sound of a shofar getting stronger and stronger, and the nation is shaking in its boots, right? They're all scared, hanging out in the camp. Vayotze Moshe et ha'am likrat ha'elokim. Right, Moshe has to take the people out from the machane. Right, he physically has to move them. Vayotze Moshe et ha'am. Vayityatzvu betachtit ha'har, and they assemble betachtit of the mountain. Right, we'll get back to that word tachtit in a moment. Right, but they assemble at the mountain. Vahar Sinai ashan kulo mipnei asher yarad alav Hashem ba'ish. Vayal ashano ke'eshen hakifshan vayacherad kol ha'har ma'od. Right, the terrified shaking of the people is paralleled by the shaking of the mountain itself. The mountain is full of smoke, and it's like a fiery furnace. Right, again, adding to the image of how frightening actually the scene was. Vayhi kol ha'shofar holech v'chazak ma'od. Right, the sound of the shofar is getting louder and louder. Moshe yidaber v'ha'elohim yanenu b'kol. At that point, the voices of Moshe and Hashem and God are heard. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, right, among other sources, brings the following well-known midrash. Right, this is Shabbat Daf Peichet Amud Aleph, and this is there's for those who want it. There's the source is available on the Web Yeshiva website. And the Midrash says, "Vayitchetzvu betachtit ahar." They assembled at the bottom of the mountain. Amarev avdimi barchama barchasa. Milamed shekafa hakadosh baruch hu aleihem et hahar kigigit. This teaches us that Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, forced the mountain above their heads like a barrel. Va'amar lahem, im atem mekablim haTorah, mutav. He already said to them, if you accept the Torah, great. V'im lav, sham tehei kfuratchem. Right? The Gemara quotes Rav Avdimi, right? He was an Amora, meaning he was a rabbi from the same time, from the time of the Gemara, roughly between the 3rd and the 5th centuries CE. And he's contemplating the words, Vayityatzvu betachtit ahar, right? They stood at the tachtit of the mountain. Now, tachtit can mean, and this is probably what the pshat of the pasuk is, the base of the mountain, the foot of the mountain, right? Biragle hahar, as Rashi says in his commentary on the pasuk. But tachtit can also mean under, right? Such as a saucer is under a cup, or a rakevet tachtit, right? A subway is under the ground, right? And this interpretation was likely bolstered, right, and we'll see this pasuk in the next midrash that we look at, by a pasuk describing Ma'amad Har Sinai in Sefer Dvarim. And there it says, Vayamdu tachatahar, right, the word tachat instead of tachtit, which even more sounds like they stood underneath the mountain. Right, now again, this pasuk, the one in Dvarim, can also be interpreted as the foot of the mountain. But if it's taken literally, like I said, it sounds even more like they were standing underneath the mountain. Now, it is this tantalizing image of the people standing literally under the mountain that encouraged Rav Avdimi's words. Right, that Hashem plucked up the mountain and forced it over the heads of the people and said, if you accept my Torah, all will be well, but if not, then I will bury you right here under the mountain. Now, the Gemara goes on to suggest, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Mikan Mudal Rabba Lo Raita, right? He suggests, isn't this a problem for the Torah? that it was forced upon the people, and they had to accept it against their will, meaning that perhaps there's no legal obligation for Am Yisrael to keep the Torah, being that it was forced on them. The Gemara concludes that no, right, that this is not a problem, right? Amar Rava, Afa Pichen, Hador Kiblu Abi Yemei Achashverosh, Dichtiv, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYudim, Kimu Mashi Kiblu Kvar, right? That it is not a problem, because during the days of Achashverosh, right, during the time of the Purim story, Am Yisrael accepted the Torah willingly, right? There's a midrashic reading of the words from the Megillah, Kimu V'Mashi Kiblu Kvar, they kept that which they had accepted previously, and therefore it's not a problem, right? The Torah is still, we still have an obligation to keep the Torah, to keep to the agreement of Har Sinai. The Meshech Chochmah, a well-known explanation of this midrash, explains that the image of the mountain being held over the head of the people, heads of the people, expresses the coercion to accept the Torah that was presented by Ma'amad Har Sinai itself, meaning that it was not possible, right, for the people to see the smoke and the lightning and hear the voice of God and the thunderclaps and the shaking of the mountain and to say, no, thank you, I'm not interested. Right? Such an the experience of Ma'amad Har Sinai as such was an act of coercion. Later on, he explains, however, during the time of the Purim story, they accepted the Torah willingly, right, without coercion. Right? And the Purim story, of course, is the quintessential example of a Nes Nistar, a hidden miracle. Right, a miracle which does not force one to see the hand of God, but rather a miracle which one chooses to interpret as emanating from the hand of God. And that's how the Mishnah Chachma understands this midrash. The Gorayeh in his commentary on Rashi, right, Rashi quotes this midrash in his commentary on the Pasuk and Shemot. He emphasizes something different. He says that this midrash is meant to emphasize to the people who had accepted the Torah that lest they think that accepting the Torah was optional, right, that they did it out of the goodness of their own heart, the image of the mountain hanging over the head of the nation reminds us that it is obligatory and that it was obligatory then also, meaning that they had to accept it. The people had no choice but to accept that which Hashem was giving them at Har Sinai. Okay, that is the first midrash I want to look at today. A different and yet related midrash is found in the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael. This midrash, I believe, is less well known, possibly simply because more people learn Gemara on a regular basis than learn the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael. In all cases, the Mechilta in Mesechta de Bachodesh Parashat Gimel, right, and this source as well is found on the Web Yeshiva website for those who are interested in finding it there. Vayitzyatzvu, right, quote from our pasuk, Vayitzyatzvu b'tachtit ahar, that they assembled at the foot of the mountain. Nitzfifu, right, they crowded together. Melamed shehayu Yisrael mityar'in mipnei hazikin, mipnei hazvaot, mipnei ha'ra'amim, mipnei ha'barakim ha'ba'im. The people huddled together, right, terrified, again, of what we saw in the previous midrash, the sound and light show erupting over them. And like in the other midrash, this midrash says that they stood together betachtit ahar, right? The midrash continues, betachtit ahar, milamed shenitla shahar mimkomo. Vekarvu v'amdu tachat ahar. Right, so here too, the people are underneath the mountain, betachtit ahar, right? But read this next part carefully. Here, the mountain is not being forced over them. Rather, vekervu v'amdu tachat ahar. They choose to draw close to the mountain and stand under the mountain. Right? As it says, right now, quote the pasuk from Sefer Devarim that I mentioned earlier, v'tikrivun v'ta'amdun tachat ahar. Right? That they stood underneath the mountain. They choose, right, to stand under the mountain. Now, the next pasuk brought by the midrash, right, explains what this midrash is trying to say. Right, the midrash continues with a proof text, which is somehow the source of what the midrash is saying. Alehem mifarash b'kabbalah, right, it is said explicitly in the Kabbalah. Kabbalah here meaning ketuvim, the third part of Tanakh. In this case, Shir Hashirim. The pasuk yonati v'chagvei hasela baseter hamadriga. Right, my dove, right, Bnei Israel, Am Israel is referred to, right, according to the understanding of Shir Hashirim, where the story of the lover and the beloved is the story of Am Yisrael and Hashem, right? So the beloved here is likened to a yonah, to a dove, who is hiding in the cleft of a rock. Har'ini et mar'ayich, hashmi'ini et kolech, ki kolech arev u'marech naveh. Right? Show yourself to me, and let me hear your voice, because your voice is sweet, and your countenance, the way that you look, is beautiful. So to get a full, again, picture of what the Midrash is describing, Am Yisrael are scared of what is going on in Har Sinai. They huddle together under the mountain, meaning, but by their choice, they huddle together under the mountain. And from that spot, from that place of refuge, the Hashem is coaxing them out and telling them to come forward, not to be hiding under the mountain, but to come forward because he would like to see them and to hear them. Based on this pasuk, right, the pasuk from Shir HaShirim, and I'm emphasizing this because it's important in terms of understanding the second midrash, the yonah from the cleft of the rock. Right, the cleft of the rock, of course, being the very big rock, right, hanging over their heads, is told to come out, right, and not to be afraid. So what we have here in these two sources that we've looked at are two midrashim, which are based on the same image, meaning the starting point of each midrash is this image, this common motif, right, which is based on a possible, although unlikely, reading of the pasuk, of the people standing under the mountain. Right? And in each case, the Baal HaMidrash, right, the one who expounds upon the pasuk in the Midrash, is contemplating, well, what exactly is this image telling us? Right? What are we supposed to make of this image of the people standing under the mountain? In the case of Rav Avdimi, he sees the image of the people standing under the mountain as coercion, as an ultimatum, a strong reminder that that following the Torah is an obligation, not something that one can choose not to do, even if one does not ultimately want it or appreciate it or understand what the Torah is or what it has to offer at the time that it is being offered. The image in the Mechilta, on the other hand, is entirely different. Here, right, in that second midrash, the terrified people are not being forced under the mountain. Rather, it is Har Sinai which shelters them. It protects them. They choose to go there. And from that spot, Hashem is not coercing them or warning them of anything, but rather is gently coaxing them out. The version of this midrash from the Mechilta de Rabbi Shmuel, which is found in the Mechilta de Rashbi, right? There are two Mechiltot, right? A moment of explanation. The Mechilta de Rabbi Shmuel, which we read from today, and there's a parallel but not identical midrash halacha on Sefer Shmuel called the Mechilta de Rashbi, and there they have this midrash in a slightly different version, and there there's a quote just before the midrash which we learned, which fits very much into what the midrash is trying to say. And there, in the Mechilta de Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, it says, "Vayotzei Moshe et ha'am likrata Elohim." Right, Moshe brought the people out. And I mentioned that the people are too scared to go out on their own, so Moshe brings them out. Rabbi Yossi ben Yudin haya omer, Hashem misinai ba. Right, he quotes the pasuk from Dvarim, which describes Hashem as coming from Har Sinai. Al Sinai nigla. Va'ani omer misinai ba lekabel banav besimcha, right? He understands the midrash, this pasuk, Hashem misinai ba, that Hashem comes from Sinai, as describing Hashem coming from Har Sinai at Ma'amad Har Sinai at Matan Torah to receive His sons in happiness, meaning to receive Am Yisrael in happiness. Moshlo mashal lemahadavar domer, right? What is there's a parable to what? Domel chatan sheyatzal likrat kala, michvodo, sheliyotze ata lamad machvodo shenichnas lekach neemar veyotze Moshe ata am likrat Elohim. Right? It's a mashal. It's similar to a chatan who comes to bring his kala, right, at the moment of their marriage. With that image in mind, right? The view which is offered by the Mechilta, right, is closely linked to the fact that it's quoted as pasuk from Shir HaShirim. If one looks at the Midrashim on Shir HaShirim, which is important to note, right? As most of you, I'm sure, know, that Shir HaShirim, which is a story, which is a love story essentially, right, is traditionally and throughout the Midrash understood as a parable for the relationship between Am Yisrael and God. The part of Shir HaShirim which is interpreted as talking about Ma'amad Har Sinai, which also includes the pasuk which is quoted in our Midrash, depicts a moment of intimacy between Am Yisrael and Hashem at Har Sinai. The moment of giving of the Torah is likened to a kiss, Yishakeni min Shikot Piyu. And as we saw in the pasuk quoted in the Mechilta, Hashem does not threaten the people or coerce them according to the description of Har Sinai. Coaxed out of the psukim of Shir HaShirim. Rather, he encourages Am Yisrael. He comforts Am Yisrael. Again, a very different image than in the other midrash that we looked at. Neither of these two midrashim, it should be stated, is suggesting that at Ma'amad Har Sinai, the people were actually standing under a mountain. I don't think anybody is suggesting that that's the pshat of Vayichetzvu B'Tachtit Ahar. But each midrash plays with this enticing image, right? This image which is offered as a gift by the pasuk to the midrashis, and offers, and each midrash offers an understanding of what is going on in the pasuk, in the story, right? Not in a literal sense, right? But in terms of what's the story all about? How are we supposed to understand the nature of this encounter between Am Yisrael and Hashem at this moment of commitment, of the brit between Am Yisrael and Hashem at Ma'amad Har Sinai. These midrashim, right, which stem from the same starting point, again, and end up in such different places, I think is also a testimony to the organic and the creative nature of midrash, something which I hope that we'll continue to see in our podcast together.